Get your Bibles out this morning, and I want you to turn to 2 Kings chapter number 22. 2 Kings chapter 22. 2 Kings chapter 22, I want you to find verse number 8. 2 Kings chapter 22, verse number 8. Once you find it, would you stand with me, and we'll stand out of respect to the Word of God. 2 Kings chapter 22, verse 8. And I'm going to read verse 8, 9, and 10 and 11 to you. Here we go. 2 Kings chapter 22. I'll read out loud. You can follow along silently. And the Bible says this: And Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan and read it. And Shaphan the scribe came to the king and brought the king word again and said, Thy servants have gathered the money that was found in the house and have delivered it unto the hand of them that do the work, that have the oversight of the house of the Lord. And Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath delivered me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, that he rent his clothes. I'm going to preach a sermon to you today. It's called, I Have Found the Book. I Have Found the Book. I want to pray, and then we'll get into the sermon. Father, bless us today. Holy Spirit of God, it would be a little futile for us to be in this room together and for me to talk and for these people to listen without your influence. So if you would please move in to this assembly and do what only you can do. We can talk of earthly things, but only with thy power, thy strength, and thy influence will we speak of the heavenly things. Make a difference in our lives today because of what's said. Holy Spirit of God, work in our midst, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. My usher station out in the hallways of our church, if you were to walk by there, you would find something that we collect frequently, that's lost frequently around the church. The most lost item in our church are Bibles. Our Bibles. I call the sermon, I Found the Book. It's named after your incident this week. There's some of you thinking, so that's where my Bible is. It's over at the usher station. I'm going to read something to you. The day after Hurricane Sandy hit the shores of New Jersey in 2012, a teenager by the name of Patrick Cheney spotted a small battered box near his home in Atlantic Highlands. And that's, again, in New Jersey. Inside the box were 57 love letters written by Dorothy to her, at that time, boyfriend, Lynn Farnham, more than 75 years ago. Cheney, the teenager, dried the letters in front of the family's fireplace. They didn't have electricity at the time. The hurricane had knocked out the power, and so they had a fireplace going. So he dries the love letters, and he wasn't really sure on how to find the letters' owners. And his mother posted a message on the internet in a particular spot to see if they could find the owners. Miraculously, Shelley Farnham was the she saw that posted message and contacted this teenager. It turns out that Dorothy and Lynn married in 1948. Lynn, the man, died in 1991. Shelley was their niece. Now, Dorothy is still alive and lives in New Jersey in a nursing home. When she got her love letters back from her now deceased husband, she was thrilled. She was thrilled to have the long-lost letters returned to her, and she said, They helped me to be reminded of my love, to rekindle my love for the man that loved me most in life. And what a sweet story. Could I tell you all something? I'm afraid there are a lot of people that have lost their love letter. You see, the Bible is God's love letter to you and to me. Did you lose your love letter? Today, I'd like to tell you what I think's wrong with America. We've lost the love letter. We've lost the love letter. listen very carefully, the story that we read from 2 Kings chapter 22. It's about Hilkiah finding the Word of God. A young king by the name of Josiah sat on the throne. He was only 8. He ended up reigning for 31 years. The Bible says of him, it says, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Again, about this young man, it says, and he walked in all the ways of David, his father, and those were good ways. The Bible says that, and he turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. And he gave an order to have the house of God rebuilt and repaired. That's because a king had, the previous king by the name of Manasseh had ignored the house of God. And the Bible says of him in 2 Kings 21:2 that he did evil in the sight of the Lord. So you've got a new king named Josiah that's doing right in the sight of the Lord, and he's going to have the house of God rebuilt, reestablished, because the previous king had dropped the ball. Josiah, 8 years of age, sent money to tear down the wicked altars and to rebuild godly altars to Jehovah God. Hilkiah, at that time, was a man of God, and believe it or not, he was made into the general contractor for the job. So Josiah is rebuilding the house of God because of Manasseh, who let it fall apart. And when Josiah did it, he reached out to Hilkiah, the man of God, and said, will you head up the project? Oh, they had a big job ahead of them. I can picture them bringing their crowbars and their hammers and dragging debris away and tearing down walls. And they were trying to rebuild the house of God. Hilkiah, the priest, the one that's heading up this project, he makes a very important discovery. It says in 2 Kings chapter 22, verse 8, and Hilkiah, the high priest, said unto Shaphan, the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. He finds the Word of God. Now, he found it because it had been lost. I don't know if they tore a wall down and somehow their Word of God had gotten behind that wall, or I don't know what happened. How could this be? It was the house of God. And so they're rebuilding the house of God, and they're all excited because they said, we found a book. We found the book. The Bible says in 2 Kings 22:8, it says, and he read it. That's a good deal. Then in 2 Kings 22:10, it says, then he showed the king. Then again in 2 Kings 22:10, it said, and the king said, read it to me, read it out loud. Then in verse number 11 it says, and it came to pass when the king had heard the words of the book of the law that he rent his clothes. In other words, he was convicted. I think he was disappointed. He's saying, oh my, what I read, I feel badly about what's gone on here. And the Bible says in verse number 1 of chapter 23, it says, and the king sent, and they gathered unto him all the leaders of Judah and Jerusalem. The king said, we've got this book. Go get all the leaders of the country. So they started gathering the leaders. You say, what for? Because they found the book. They found the book. In 2 Kings chapter 23, verse number 2, it says, and the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him, and the priests and the prophets and all the people, both small and great, and he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant, which was found in the house of the Lord. He read it to them. Then it tells us in 2 Kings 23, verse number 3, that as a result of that, all the people, they stand and they begin to stand for the words that are in that book. You know what? They rediscovered their love letters. Isn't that sad? They had the book of God. They had the love letter, the Word of God from God, and somehow a generation of people began to ignore it and put it on the wayside, to the point that in the house of God, there was not even a copy of the Word of God. They go to refurbish it, they discover it, and everybody's excited. The lost Bible have been found. I'd like to tell you something. I found the book. I found the book. You know, I've got the book. And I'm very excited that I have the book. And if you'll listen to me for a few minutes, I want to talk to you about that very thought. I found the book. For instance, I think I found the book that's been lost from the pulpits and churches in our country. I found the book that's been lost from the pulpits and churches in our country. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 2 says, "Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering in doctrine." Here the God says, "Preach the word." Now, when it says, "Preach the word," it's talking about the word of God. It's not talking about dainty stories. It's talking about a man of God is to preach the word of God. Then it says instant, in season, and out of season. You say, what does that mean? Well, when it's talking about instant, it means be quick to preach the word of God. And then it says in season or out of season. Now, what that really means is, if the preaching of the word of God is popular, preach the word of God. But if preaching the word of God is not popular, preach the word of God anyway. And right now in our country, to some degree, it's an unpopular thing to preach the word of God. Our society is getting worse and worse, and they're less and less interested in the things of God. But we have the book, and I found the book. And if you've got the Bible there in your hands, you've got the book as well. You know, the most important thing that happens at a local New Testament church is all about the Word of God. It's the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God. Let me explain. Every once in a while, we'll have some young people come into our church and they've not had a lot of training. And maybe while we're having church, they get to messing around or goofing off. You know what I'll do? I'll just say, hey, look right up here. Yeah, and I'll tell you why. Because I think the preaching of the Word of God is very important, and I am doing that young person a favor by helping them not to disrespect the Word of God, but I'm also helping all of us to be able to concentrate on the Word of God. Why? I found the book. I found the book, and I'm glad that I found the book. That's why, you know, our children's churches and nurseries and things, they're there. Why? It helps us. It helps us to keep our concentration on the Word of God. You know, earlier when I said to you, turn off your cell phone, do you know why? I'm not mad at your cell phone. We don't want the cell phone to go off during the preaching of the Word of God, because I'm telling you, all across this country, they've lost their love letter. And I don't want our church to lose the love letter. I think the Word of God is very important. I'll give you even one little piece of advice. Now, I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feeling, but let me tell you something. If I could recommend that you go to the washroom before preaching instead of during. What? Now, look, if you have an emergency and you need to get out of here in just a few minutes because you need the restroom, I understand it. But it would probably be a good idea if we would try to be able to sit still all the way through the preaching of the Word of God. In that generation, they had gotten so far away from the Word of God, they didn't even know where it was. And when this young king finds it, they said, "We found the book." Well, thank God I found the book. I've got the book. I've got one right here on my pulpit, and you have one as well. Hey, come to church with an open heart for the Word of God. I thank God that we have a Bible. Now, we have a lot of fun around our church. We have some promotion. Sometimes we'll give some candy or something away at the church. But let me make something very clear. Hey, the candy's not more important than the Word of God. We've got the book. We have music around our church, and I thank God for our music. I thank God for the special that we just heard sang, and what a beautiful piano, and what a beautiful, boy, the offertory was fantastic. And we've got a great music program, but the music program is not as important as the book. We take offerings, and I thank God we take offerings, and I'm glad that we take offerings. But I got to tell you something. The Word of God is most important. It's more important than the offering or the music. We have some decorations around the church from time to time. We have fellowships. But I've got to tell you, the Word of God is most important. But you know what I'm watching happen in churches? They're making everything else important, and they're minimizing the Word of God. They've replaced the Word of God with drama and dance and music. They'll actually cancel preaching for music. It'll be a cold day where the boogeyman lives before we'll cancel preaching for music. Now, you come to our church, you'll hear some good music. And we may have somebody sing 6 or 8, 10 songs. We might have a special group come in, but we're not canceling the preaching for music. Why? We found the book. I found the book. They were excited about the book. We ought to stay excited about the book. So, I want to tell you today, I found the book that's been lost
from our pulpits and lost from our churches. I think I found the book. I think I found the book that's been lost from our homes. From our homes. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6, 7, and 8, it says this, "And these words which I command thee this day," speaking of the Word of God, "shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be a frontlet between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates." Huh. God's saying we ought to teach the Word of God diligently. We ought to talk of them when we sit in our homes, when we're walking through our homes, when we lie down at home. Whatever happened, whatever happened. I mean, the least you could do, parents, is help your children to say, "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take." Look, even the people that don't go to church out there will let their kids pray that prayer. But I'm going to tell you, the average Christian home, there's not much prayer going on anymore. You know what's happened? Our homes lost their love letter. They lost the Word of God. It says, "When thou liest down, when thou riseth up." In verse number 9, it said God's Word should even be posted in our homes. In our home, you'll come to our house, you'll find the King James Bible, but you'll find verses on our walls. Why? The Bible talks about that. The Word of God is to be lived in your home. The Word of God is to be taught in our home. The Word of God is to be read in our homes. The Word of God is to be respected in our homes. And folks, let me tell you, we're really not to have two different lifestyles. The front that you put up at church and the mess at home. We're to live right at home. We're to live right in church, but we're to live right at home as well. And the average Christian home today has a double standard. They live one way at home and in the community, and a totally different way when they come to church. Folks, I found the book, and the book seems to have been lost from our pulpits and our churches. It seems to have been lost from our homes. If I may then, thirdly, I found the book that's been lost in our schools. Lost in our schools. Psalm 73, verse 11, it says, "And they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High?" You understand? Whoever that is quoting in the Scripture there, these folks are saying, there's some things that God just doesn't know. Well, I've got news for you. God knows everything. He's the everywhere. He's the everywhere present one, the all-knowing one, and the all-powerful one. And that has not changed. You know, I have to tell you, our schools have deteriorated terribly. Oh my. Listen to Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse number 9. The Bible says, "When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations." I wish some of you really knew what was going on in the public school system today. Our kids are being taught some abominable stuff. You know, sin is still sin, and wrong is still wrong. The Bible says in Proverbs 9:10, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding." Proverbs 22:17 says, "Bow down thine ear, and hear the words of the wise, and apply thine heart unto my knowledge." The Bible says in Philippians 2:5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 43:27, "Thy first father hath sinned, and thy teachers have transgressed against me." You know, do you understand that our school system banned the Bible? That's probably not going in a right direction, wouldn't you say? They kicked it out. Now, let me tell you, and I'm not going to be on a tirade about that this morning, although I would like to, but I'll tell you this, that used to bother people. It used to bother people. It used to bother the Christians. It used to be people talk about, the Supreme Court that banned the Bible from our schools. We used to be ticked off about it. You don't even think about it anymore. We have so adapted to the fact that our school system despised the Word of God and said, you can't have that here. But I wish you knew the other stuff they'll let them teach. Now, the fact that it's banned is it's acceptable. They don't want the Bible. It's rejected. But not only that. Now, let me tell you, even your Christian schools, if you're not careful, they're just glorified private schools. A Christian school system that left the public education to have the right to have the Bible to be their guide. Now you have Christian schools that don't even use the Bible as their guide. We hope that we'll start a Christian school, the Twin Rivers Baptist Academy, at the beginning of the next school year. But I will tell you this, it will be different. It'll function according to the Bible, and it'll be old time religion. And you say, what is your ultimate concern? Not to be politically correct, but to be biblically correct. We just got to accept something, folks. Our society is not going to accept the Bible. And if you're not careful, you'll just go ahead and change right along with society. And society is not getting better. Society is getting worse. You say, but people think I'm strange. Listen, all the way back in the Bible, they were calling them peculiar people. Because they were different. So, I tell you, I found the book. I found the book that was lost from our schools, both in the public school and in the Christian school. Hey, our colleges today, what a mess. They turn out atheists. I really have no respect for co-ed dormitories. The fornication and the adultery that goes on in them. Oh, my. You know, even some Bible colleges have lost track of what it's really all about. We are training some young people here at our church with Practical Bible Baptist College. We want it to be different. It's old time religion without apology. But in our educational system, would you agree? They lost the book. They lost the book. Even in pulpits and churches, they've lost the book. I think in our homes, folks, let's not lose the book. But not only that, I found the book that you lost in your personal life. You see, the reason why we've lost it in our country, the reason why we've lost the book in our schools, and the reason why we've lost the book in our churches is because individuals, they've lost their love letter. Do you read your Bible? I don't know if you know this. In your living room, there used to be a table, and it's a flat table in front of your couch. It's called a coffee table. I don't know if they call them coffee tables anymore. But most people get a Bible and throw their Bible out where everybody can see it because it's a piece of the decor in their house. You know, the Bible was never intended to be a piece of decor in your house. The pages ought to be soiled. Every once in a while, you ought to wear it out so it looks grimy. You men that go to work, your Bible's probably going to have some oil or grease on it. Ladies, you're going to splatter some grease or some egg on your Bible. And young people, if you're doing right with your Bible, it's not going to look like a pristine monument that you bought somewhere to put it out to impress everybody. And the problem in America today is we want to put a Bible out and impress everybody. Well, the Bible was not there to impress people. It was there to change people. It was there to read. There are people under the sound of my voice. You used to have a Bible. It used to mean something to you, but it means nothing anymore. You can't even find it to bring it to church. It's lost. Do you read your Bible? You say, well, how often should I read it? Well, the Bible says in Matthew 6:11, give us this day our daily bread. I think it'd be a good idea to get a little of the Word of God in you every day of your life. You take time to eat for your physical body every day. What would be wrong if you took time to eat for your spiritual body every day? I love bread. I think the gas stations that, if you go to a gas station that has a Subway in it, they know what they're doing. While I'm pumping gas and they're cooking bread, I'm thinking bread. I'm not thinking gas. Bread's good for you. You know, Psalm 68, verse 19 says, blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits. daily loadeth us with benefits. Let me ask you a question. Are you getting your daily load of scriptural benefits? You say, I feel cheated in life. Maybe you ought to get loaded up with the benefits that are made available through the Word of God. There are people in here. You said you're going to read your Bible all the way through for the very first time. Have you lost your Bible? You lost that love letter? Have you set it aside and you're no longer interested? Do you have a hard time finding your Bible from week to week when it's time to go to church? Is it under your romance novel? Where's it at? You see, I think we have the book. When I think back to this young man by the name of Josiah, and he said, we're going to get the Word of God. We're going to rebuild the house of God. So they tear into it. They find a Bible. And Hilkiah said, I found the book. And Josiah said, bring it over here. Read it. Go get everybody. We got to get everybody excited about this. They were excited about the Word of God. Let me tell you something, folks. America needs to get excited about the Word of God again. We have lost the love letter. We have lost it from our pulpits, and we have lost it from our churches, and we have lost it in our homes, and we have lost it in our schools, and you've lost it from your personal life. Could I recommend this? Could I recommend that you don't let the Word of God be lost in regard to your mind and your way of thinking? I found the book that we have lost from our minds. Do you know, back when I was a teenager in the church, I had kids that went to my public school that smoked dope, that drank booze, that fornicated like a couple of alley cats that could quote Scripture. Not everybody could quote John 3:16. There are people in here, you've been Christian for years, you can't quote one Scripture. I'm talking about Christians now. We've lost the Word of God from our minds. If you ever look on television and you see our whacked out society, you look at it and you say, what are they thinking? Well, they're thinking like the animals that they are. You say, what are we going to do about that? Get the Word of God in your mind. It's pure. It's decent. People today think about everything but the Bible. You know, I think we ought to think about the truth of God. I think we ought to think about God. I think we ought to think about heaven. I think we ought to think about peace. I think we ought to think about true love and the doctrines of the Bible. But here's what you'll do. You'll think about problems you can't solve and throw yourself into a state of depression. I say to you, let the Word of God become that thing that gets you up instead of this negative world that'll get you down. Proverbs chapter 23, verse number 7 says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Huh. That means if we'll think purely, we're more apt to behave purely. If we think on being separate from the world, we're more apt to be separate from the world. If we'll think of obedience, maybe we'll be obedient. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 15 and 16, meditate on these things. Give thyself wholly to them. And what's it talking about? Meditating on the Word of God. Psalm 119, verse 15 says, I will meditate in thy precepts. I have respect unto thy ways. Psalm 143, verse 5 said, I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hand. Psalm 1, verse 2 says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. We ought to be going to the Word of God, getting a daily dose of benefit, which is our daily bread. We ought to think of it in the morning, think of it in the evening. Take the time to think about the Word of God. I don't think we're to come to church and hear the Word of God and then ignore it the rest of the week. I realize that to some people, you think that I'm an entertainer, and you think that this is the movie. And you're to come in, and we don't give out popcorn or soda, but you're to come in and get you some jelly beans, sit there, and be entertained for a little while. Go out and get in your car, go home and live like the devil, just like when you came in. But I'm sad to tell you, that is not how it is. I'm the preacher of the Word of God, this is the house of God, and I'm to tell you that book is still true, and we are ignoring it in America, and there's a reason why our schools are falling apart. There's a reason why our families are falling apart. There's a reason why our government is falling apart. We have lost the book! We've lost it. And because we've lost it, everything is falling apart around us. I found the book. I found the book that has been lost from our minds. You know, it wouldn't hurt you to just take a little time and meditate on the Word of God. I understand that I might have a little more of a straightforward personality than what you're used to. Every once in a while, I tend to be a little assertive. But rather than getting mad at my personality, think at what I'm saying and ask yourself if you have lost the book in your life, in your family. Have you lost it? Is it no longer important? See, I think God gave us the book. And I found that book. And I'm glad that I have that book. And you ought to be glad that you have that book. Hey, next. I think I found the book that we have lost in our decision making. We've lost the book in our decision making. I thank God I found the book. The Bible says in Psalm 31:3, "For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, thy name's sake, lead me and guide me." You're to let the Bible lead you. Christians, you're to let the Bible guide you. It's to lead you and guide you. You know what that is? That's your decision making. Look, if you're listening to Dr. Phil so he can guide you for your decisions of life, could I recommend something a little better? How about Jesus? How about Dr. Jesus and the textbook, the Bible? Jesus has never been wrong. Psalm 32, verse number 8 says, "I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way that thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye." Let the Bible tell you which way to go. Let the Bible tell you where to go. What is that? That's instruction for our decision making. Psalm chapter 73, verse number 24 says, "Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterwards receive me to glory." Here the Bible says that the Bible should be your counselors. The Bible, you should get counsel from your Bible. Look, if you're confused about something, what do? Go to the Word of God. God is not the author of confusion, and God wants to help you. I think some of us, we have way too much confidence in our own minds. Because you say, Well, I think, if I were you, I'd find out what God thinks. Well, I think, the way I see it, you better find out how God sees it. Oh, and let me tell you the most dangerous one. Well, I feel, are you really going to let your feelings guide you? Some of you, let me explain, let me show you what your feelings will do to you. I know some of you. This is how your life's going to be. I'm going to let my feelings guide me. You better let something more stable than your feelings guide you. I think. I feel. I see. How about God thinks? What God feels. What God sees. He's a perfect God. Or do you even believe that? Are you sucked into the humanistic philosophy of our day that puts man on a pedestal above even God? You see, I found the book, and we've lost it from our decision making. The Bible says in Psalm 5:8, "Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face." We need the guidance of God's word. You say, why? Because you have an enemy. That enemy's out to take you to the cleaners. And every time you do what you want, your enemy says, good deal. You say, well, I wonder if I'm not doing what the devil wants. You can do what the devil wants, or you can do what you want. But the primary goal is to keep you from doing what God wants. Some of you need to think through that logic for just a moment. You can do what you want. You can do what the devil wants. But the devil, all he wants is that you don't do what God wants. Because that's the will of God. You say, where am I going to find that? I found the book. It's in the book. Psalm 27:11 says, "Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path." God's word will make it plain. Matter of fact, sometimes too plain. Because there's sometimes God just says, "No, that's wrong. Stop it." But no buts about it. Boy, did my mom say that to me a lot growing up. Boy, do I remember that well. God's word will make it plain. God will help you make your decisions. A young man takes over a kingdom. And he said, "We've got to do something about the house of the Lord. It's been ignored by the king before me." Says to Hilkiah, lead this renovation of the house of God. And I mean, they were virtually in their church building working on it. They tear a wall or something down, and behind it is the Bible. And Hilkiah said, "I found the book." Well, you would have thought they would have known the book was missing a long time ago. He takes it to the king and said, "Look at this. Let me read some of this to you." And the king said, "Read it. Read some more. Go get everybody. Let's read it." And before long, everybody's saying, "Wow, it's the book. This is what we needed. This is what's been missing." You see, we've lost it. Our churches have lost it. Our pulpits have lost it. Our homes have lost it. Our schools have lost it. Christians have lost it in their personal life. We've lost it from our minds. We've lost it from our decision making. I would tell you this. I think churches and Christians have lost it from their mission of life. Their mission of life. Luke 19:10. Well, let me ask you this question. Do you know who you're supposed to be like? Some Hollywood weirdo? A rock and roll star? You're to be like Jesus. That's simple. Even if you're a liberal Christian, surely you believe that. You've got to be like Jesus. Well, let's find out why Jesus came to earth. Why was he on earth? The Bible says in Luke 19:10, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is lost." So one of the priorities in every single Christian's life ought to be to help people not to go to hell. So people would be saved. We call it witnessing. You call it spreading the gospel. You call it soul winning. Do you know that in the Southern Baptist Convention, there were over 5,000 churches a couple years ago that had zero people saved? Now, I'm not trying to hurt them. I'm just telling you, how do 5,000 churches not have somebody saved? Can you imagine how much money was spent? Now, you say they served some pretty good mashed taters at their fellowships. I'm glad, but it would have been good had they served the gospel so somebody could have got saved. So they had some good music. Let me tell you, you can have all the good music in the world, all the fellowships in the world, you can have every activity and all the fun and the fanciest building, and if the people around your community are dying going to hell, we have lost it. The church is now being run like a business to the point where it's all, everybody want to keep up with the Joneses, and I'm for having a nice building, and I'm for having nice programs, and I'm for having music, and I like mashed taters at the fellowship, but somebody better get their eyes back on the reason Jesus Christ came. He came to save people. Hey, have you lost the Word of God in your mission of life? You care about people going to hell? Does it matter to you? It probably does not shock you if you're a guest here today. I'm an old-time religion preacher. I'm hoping I can make it all the way to the end just like that. Matter of fact, I told God to kill me if it looked like I was going to go the wrong direction. You know what? I found the same book that Josiah found. If you've got the old King James Bible, you got it too. You've got it too. Let's not lose what this book is all about in our lives. This book teaches that you and I should tell others about Jesus Christ. This book tells us how to live. It helps us to make decisions. Really, it'll keep you safe. I preach once a year in the area of New Jersey where the story that I led this sermon off with. I go up there and preach. These are real people. They find 57 love letters after years and years and years of them being lost.
And boy, was somebody excited when they rediscovered those love letters. You remember what she said? She said they helped her to rekindle her love for the one who loved her most. Huh. Can I tell you something? If you'll get back into this book and find a place that believes in this book and stands for this book and preaching that stands for this book and schools and ministry that stands for this book, you could rekindle your love for the one who loves you most. That is the great God of the universe. See, God loves you. And this book, I found it. You say, what is it? It's God's love letter to me and to you. Don't ignore it. Don't ignore it. At our house, I have a little wooden box in my nightstand. Every card or note that Mrs. Owens writes to me, they're in that box. Can't get the lid shut anymore. They're like me. They're swelling. But if you went to my home right now and you went into my bedroom and you went to my nightstand, the top shelf of my nightstand on the inside, there's a wooden box. It is crammed full with the love letters that I've received from her. Do you know, that probably means something to her. I'm interested in those love letters. I suppose about once a year, I might pull them out and glance through them. You say, what are you doing? Oh, I'm looking to see if I left any money in there, first of all. Oh, no, I'd be reminded of her love for me. I really think she'd probably be devastated if I stood before you today and said, I threw them all away. I had somebody rewrite them. They could improve on it. We don't need to improve on the Bible. We just need to read it. If she found out that I got rid of them, it would hurt her. Folks, there's some of you, you have cast your Bible aside in your life, in your family, in your child rearing, in your thinking. Look, you get back into your Bible, it will rekindle your love for the one that loves you most.